can step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 374. I'm Lisa Sheps. I am joined by my co-host and non-engineer today, Miss Nicole Shiro. You are listening to us on KOOP Hornsby Austin 91.7 FM, streaming live on the World Wide Web internationally at koop.org. Do not touch that dial.
Step right up, the show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up, feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh yeah.
Soon it's gonna rain.
It is Wednesday, August 17th. 2016. On the show today, we're joined by our next door neighbors at the City Theater and their show, Little Shop of Horrors. And then later on, we're going to talk to Zach Theater and their production that's playing right this very second, a little show called Mary Poppins. And of course, we're going to have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, London, and Zurich. And that was London, UK, and London, Ontario. Stay with us.
With leaves and duck inside to stay.
Soon it's going to rain, Nicole Shiro.
I believe you might be correct, Lisa Sheps.
Or if you want to sing the song in Spanish, you can say, pronto va llover.
Oh, that was fancy.
Yo me veo. I did the show in Spanish.
Did you?
Yep. You know, I've done this show three times.
I didn't realize you've done the show that many times.
Three times, and once it was in Español.
En Español. Was that the same time you did the Glass Menagerie?
Yes, Zuilóico de Cristal.
Yes. What other shows did you do on that?
La Celestina, which is a classical piece, which in theory predates Shakespeare, but I don't buy it. And Los Fantásticos.
Los Fantásticos.
So we have switched places for the first time in several weeks.
I know.
Yeah, so I'm running the board today.
I know. You're to the right and I'm to the left and we did magical swaps. It's like a little crazy.
So if it's bad, you know who to blame. Me.
No.
Yeah.
That's just silly.
Why don't we introduce the folks that are in here with us right now?
It's a party.
Craig McCurley. Hi. Well, oh, you know what? Don't say anything until I turn your microphone on. Okay, now try it.
Hi, Lisa. How are you?
There you are.
He's there.
And I'm guessing Lauren Beach just joined us. Talk right into the microphone.
Hello.
Okay, and we have Leroy Ninau.
That's correct.
I did it.
You
right.
did it.
Yay. And then Heath Allen.
Pleasure to be here.
And then over here we have Diego Rodriguez. Hi.
Hi.
There you go. And pretty soon we'll be joined by Blakeney Malstadt and Jennifer Young Malstadt, who's a veteran of the show.
Yes.
And Diego, you're a veteran of the show, I hear, but I wasn't here.
Thank you.
That wasn't a compliment. Yes, it was. Yes, it was. Okay. I'm sort of a smart aleck. So the opening song alluded to the official weather report. Oh, I need to say hello to Lauren Level.
Scream out, Lauren.
She's not in a microphone.
I know she doesn't want to be a microphone.
This is the first time that I have seen her since she gave birth to lovely Georgia.
Does she look like she?
And she looks gorgeous.
Yeah, I know.
And Diego's mom is here. And I forgot your name.
Kate
is here. So there you go.
I made Kate come on air last time. She wasn't happy
She told
with me.
She told me. And I have it on good authority that Blakeney's mom is going to be here as well.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Magic.
So something I meant to talk about. Well, let's do the not so happy stuff first. We lost a theater and media legend who just passed away, and Flyvish Finkel. Except there's no L. I keep putting an L. Flyvish Finkel.
I was just about to say, is there an L? Have
there
I been
is
saying
not,
it wrong?
I keep putting it in there, and it doesn't exist. It's he was 93 when he
I
when
was
he
just
passed.
About to say, it was a very full life.
Yeah, he had a good life. But if you don't know, anybody know who he is by name here? Anybody? No, no. But by the way, nodding and shaking of the heads doesn't work on radio.
we're just ashamed we don't know who he is.
No, you would absolutely recognize him. He was in Picket Fences, Boston Public. He's done a million featured roles in TV series and movies.
He's one of those faces, and you're like, I know that guy. And then internally, you're like, I really should know his name because I know that guy.
I recognize the name. It's one of those, like, yeah. Who's that guy?
Yeah.
Somebody Google him while we're here. You can look at his picture. But he passed away. He was really known. He was born in 1922, because I just did the math. And he did a lot of Yiddish theater. Reading his obituary, they talked about back in the day, before the 70s, before I moved to New York, 2nd Avenue south of 14th Street was like 40 Yiddish theaters. And they're all gone.
Mm. My parents they're lived over there during that time.
They're all gone. All gone. But he also, he wrote a show himself, a Yiddish vaudeville called Finkel's Follies. And it was off-Broadway at the Houseman Theater.
I want to go to Finkel's Follies.
That was in 1991, so you could have.
I missed it.
It's just wonderful alliteration on that.
I know.
But he said he used, I'll just read this because it made me laugh. It featured such shop-worn shtick as the waiter who rebukes a customer for griping about the filthy napkins. 11 people have used that napkin, the waiter says, and you're the only one who's complained.
It's a classic.
Stop me now, if you've heard it.
Does Mickey Katz do the music? Because then if I had some klezmer going with it,
yeah, we should have brought some klezmer.
An amazing day.
But so he got his Broadway debut in a little show called Fiddler on the Roof.
Oh, that
anybody heard
show.
Of it?
No. Yeah.
It was
no.
A Jeopardy category yesterday. Or
oh,
day
there you
before.
Go.
I believe Leroy's done that show, haven't you, Leroy?
Yeah, again, looks and shakes don't work on the radio. I'm going to say yes.
You can jump right in. You're part of the crowd.
So he played Mordka in the original, and then he went on to the revival in 1981. He played Laser Wolf, and on the road he did Tevye. So there you go.
He just played them all. Oh,
he did a lot of he did a lot of stuff.
I love the fiddler.
So God bless.
In answer to his thing, I did Laser Wolf. Yes,
there you go.
And I did a Russian Dancer.
I believe I saw you as Laser. Where? What? Where?
At
Trinity Street?
Trinity Street, yes.
Yep, I saw you. Hold on. So, rest in peace.
Oh, my God. R.I.P. Fire today.
R.I.P. Get it, Rip?
I did.
Come on.
I did. That's why I said you are on fire.
Okay, something I meant to talk about last week and I didn't. And it's too late unless you TiVo it. You could probably find it on demand. But there's a program called American Greed, which I did not know of. But this episode was The Phantom Fraudster of New York. And it is about Mark
It's
Hutton,
our Rebecca guy.
Who was the fraudster that screwed Rebecca out of a Broadway run. They had started rehearsal.
A few times. Didn't it like two or three times they got the hook? And
yeah,
it's
poor
happening.
Thing.
It's not.
So anyway, that was that's interesting. So if you want to like look at try to do what's it called?
Google search.
Whatever, find it.
On demand, that kind of stuff.
The internet, yeah. You weren't here for the lecture. If you want to talk, you got to run right in front of the microphone.
The internet.
Don't like the internet. Well, I'm old, as you know. So the other thing I meant to talk about. Did anybody see any of the trailers for Rocky Horror Show?
Yes.
Rocky Horror Picture Show. Excuse me, the remake. It looks pretty good, I think.
I know, and you were very not like happy. It started off a few weeks ago with just Laverne Cox coming out and then getting in the lips, and then that was it. And I'm like, okay,
so Annalie Ashford's in it, Reed Carney.
But she looks amazing.
Oh my God, she looks awesome.
She
I know.
Does.
I was like, give us more. That was like, there was no, and now there's like full.
And now
like,
there's some,
teasers.
And you hear her voice. She sings a little bit of the number, and it sounds great.
There's the Ben Vereen.
Tim Curry is in it, and Ben Vereen. Yeah. So we have been joined here by Matthew Burnett. Hi, Matthew.
Hey, how's it going?
It's good.
Can I say something about Ben Vereen?
No.
Really?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, we love him. Magically yesterday, I was flipping through channels, and all of a sudden, I stopped and I looked up.
It was Ben Vereen.
It was Ben Vereen and Savion Glover on an old episode of the Jamie Foxx show, and they all just started tapping, and I'm like, thank you for this in the middle of the day. I don't know why this is on, but it was so awesome. It was all back in bring the noise, bring the funks.
Bring in a noise, bring in
it
a funk.
It was about 15 minutes of tapping. I was like, this is phenomenal. Thank
we
you.
Love our Xavier Glover.
We love Xavier Glover.
Do you know, Diego, do you know who we're talking about? Do you know all these names that we've been saying?
I do not.
You do not. Okay. Do not. So here's your homework.
Yes.
Look up Ben Vereen.
Got it.
Look up Tim Curry.
Got it.
Look up Xavier Glover.
Got it.
Look up Lisa Sheps.
You're not going to find
You won't
on
find
that.
Anything for me. Okay. So we did have an opening this week.
I know.
Anybody anybody
it
up on
this? It keeps happening and happening and happening.
Across the pond, but not for long. It's going to be coming in pretty soon. Groundhog Day, the musical.
That's why it keeps happening and happening and happening and happening.
With your boy,
I'm
Andy
so
Carl.
Way. I know. Do you know, on the way over here, I was singing Rocky Das Musical.
There you go.
That's awesome.
So in Ben Brantley's review, this first line is, who knew that deja vu could smell this fresh all over again?
Aww. It's Andy Carl. Man, yeah. He's
and
awesome.
Love letter to Andy Carl. So the reviews were mostly positive, a little mixed. The Guardian was not as positive about it as the United States papers, but everybody across the board said Andy Carl did a great job, and he wasn't doing what so many people in this instance might be doing, which was sort of channeling Bill Murray. He brought his own thing to it.
And I also think it's really good because everybody, after Rocky and then after On the 20th Century, he keeps really getting pigeonholed into these dumb guy, like the Jersey Boys and all that kind of stuff that
right.
I think this is so perfect for him because he's so talented.
That's
so,
cool. You know, it'd be really hard to follow a role like that
yes.
and not
be like,
channel
yo.
Bill
well,
Murray.
Yeah. And for Rocky, him, he did man. Channel Sylvester, so he sort of had
oh,
to.
Oh, you had to. Yeah. It's Rocky.
So it's like, yeah, really, really difficult.
And boy, it was awesome. Did you know they have a full-size regulation boxing ring in the musical?
That.
Did you hear him? Did you
so
know that?
So the book was written, the book of Groundhog Day was written by Danny Rubin, and the songwriter, somebody I've never heard of, Tim Minchin.
You know, that guy may go somewhere.
He may go somewhere.
Yeah, sounds vaguely familiar.
Folks will remember him from Matilda the Musical. And one of the things they talk about him doing in Matilda, he also does here, he makes these songs so richly dark.
Yes.
That these fun songs are dark.
He's like mad scientist genius.
Diego, look
he's
up
like
Tim
Julie
Minchin.
Tamar.
Got it.
You know Matilda the
you
Musical?
Be,
I do, yes.
He's the man that wrote the music.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to read this other little sentence that Ben Brantley said. It says, it is cool, as in hip, and warm, as in cuddly. It is spiky and sentimental, and it transforms its perceived weaknesses into strengths in ways that should disarm even the veteran music haters. Musical haters.
Whew,
that was hard to say. That's it. The woman that playing the Annie McDowell part is a woman named Carlos Peer, who I've never heard of. But I think it's interesting that Carl and Carlos are playing against each other. And you think that... let's see. What else do I want to say about this? So I should say it's at the Old Vic, but it's going to move pretty quickly, I bet.
I think it will.
Yeah.
Do you,
and they use illusions. The guy that did the illusions is Paul Keeve. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. K-I-E-V-E. And so they use illusions. Like when he talks about one, he's in the, if you know the show, and it tracks the movie pretty completely. He's in the bathtub and he electrocutes himself. And evidently it, through an illusion, immediately puts him into bed waking up.
Oh, nice. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds fascinating.
Oh, that is pretty cool.
Okay.
You know, I've been waiting for the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory to come to the United States.
Yep.
And it is, but
so
did you
soon.
See who's playing Charlie?
Ah,
Christian Borle is
oh,
playing
right, yeah.
Willy Wonka.
Oh.
Yeah.
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 Lisa's
been
New
telling
York
me
and Something
on...
Rotten, and that was when I became a huge Christian Borle fan.
Oh, I love the guy.
So you saw the original cast of Something
I did.
Rotten?
I saw the last performance of the original cast.
So Will Swinson, Christian Borle, the whole...
They announced it
Brian
because,
Doyle,
yeah.
Brian Doyle Murray.
Yeah. The night we saw it,
that's Bill
like
Murray's
Brian
brother.
Murray.
We're in
no,
a Bill Murray
a name.
Loop here.
The night we saw it, there was one of the chorus ensemble who was their last show.
Oh.
And so that was the first break in the original cast that night.
I saw him play Bert and Mary Poppins on Broadway, speaking of Christian.
There you
how's,
go.
How's Christian Borle going to show
you saw
off
him
those
do Bert?
Arms in
yeah.
that costume?
Oh. I've seen him in Legally Blonde. I've loved the Christian Borle long before the smash. And he was still married to Sutton back in, like, when I fell in love with the Christian Borle.
So,
back then.
So has anybody that... Oh, go ahead.
No, I tweeted that me and Christian Borle should be best friends.
Maybe you are.
I did not get a reply.
Oh. Yeah, okay. Very quickly, Paramore, the Cirque du Soleil show.
Yes.
Doing something that Cirque does quite often but does not happen on Broadway. They're closing for 4 days starting like in the next few days. On the 22nd.
Are they putting something in there?
They're revamping.
They're redoing the whole... Really?
Not the whole thing. They had some... notes that they wanted to do.
Okay.
According to the producers, that this was always in the plan, but I'm thinking according to the checkbook, this is let's fix it.
I'm wondering that too. Well, they had that whole controversy trying to figure out their union and how many contracts they'd have under the variety performers versus AEA. And
Yep.
So
AEA, Actors Equity Association, for those of you not in the know. So there was an interesting article in the New York Times. Has anybody heard of that? Diego, have you heard of the New York Times?
I have not, no.
What? All right, Mom.
I feel like he's on trial over here today. Yes, yes, I have. No, yeah. I did not see that happen. Yes, yes, I was there that
evening.
We have to
keep our references post-2006, Diego.
Okay, so...
he's going to be the smartest kid out there. I mean, he's going to know everything.
We talked about this for the past couple of weeks because Summerstock Austin has been on the show. And what has virtually disappeared from... this country, or I'm just saying generally, and they make note of it in this article that the two mega places to see theater in the world, New York and London, you can't see it at all, and that's repertory theater.
Mm-hmm.
And the Rolling Rep is just not really in existence anymore, except at a couple of festivals, the Stratford Festival and others, and that's where you're doing 6+ shows in Rolling Repertory with the same herd of actors doing the shows, where you might do Dr. Faustus one night and Merrily We Roll Along the next night. So it's a lot of work. Has anybody here done rep theater?
I'm raising my hand.
I haven't done it, but I saw Stratford's, and it's fantastic.
Is that because we're old people, Lisa, that we've
I
done
think
it?
So. But it's amazing, and talk about working your chops as an actor.
Yeah. But it's so much fun.
Yeah. Well, I come from a stage management background. We were very jealous of the performers who only had to work 10 hours a day.
Well, so, then you didn't like me. I'm sorry.
It's not that I didn't like it. I was jealous. But the main reason why this doesn't happen is the budget. Stratford's budget is $46 million.
Woo! You know...
So,
and that's just for the festival, right? For the summer festival?
Just for the summer festival.
It'd be hard to make something happen with that.
Yeah. I will work for considerably less than that.
But you see world-class artists coming from all over the place.
Right, and that's what they're saying. It's that you'll see... There might be some rep and other things, but to see the world-class artists come and do it. And it's really amazing. One woman, hold on, I'm gonna spout off this list. And everybody's homework is to go out and read this article because it's really interesting. And I think I would love to see it be revived. And I have a word.
Okay. Oh, there was a word in this article and not the review?
Right. So I'm trying to find out the name of this person, Ms. Peacock. Her last name is Lucy Peacock. So in
okay,
one thing
name.
She did, this is in one season, she did... Schiller's Mary Stuart. She played Judith Bliss in Hay Fever, Masha and Three Sisters, Dolly Levi in Hello Dolly, and Anna Anna in The King and I.
Welsh names. They're okay. So hard to pronounce.
All right. That's a tough one. Okay, so here's the word. This is a word that we talk about critics using words that you need a dictionary for no reason. So I will read the sentence. You tell me what this word means in context, and I'll say if you're right.
Okay.
Okay, I wrote how to say it right there. Okay. She readily recognizes that such a span would be unlikely anywhere outside the repertory company like Stratford. And for an actor who prizes the work above the kind of acclay that comes with film and television roles. Acclay. And let me just tell you how that's spelled. That's E with an accent, C-L-A-T, clearly French.
Acclay.
Acclay.
Acclay. En
that's
français.
Not just the French
no, sorry. Éclat. Éclat.
Éclat. En français.
I'm just going to guess.
Like eclectic or accolades.
Acclaim.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say acclaim or prestige.
Yeah, very good. Brilliance of success.
Brilliance of success.
Okay. We're going to do the quiz, and then we're going to do the trivia question. Okay. So we're going to take a little quiz here, and I think I'm going to make Diego answer everything. I'm teasing. There's five questions. I got three of them wrong. So I'm feeling, and I didn't do good last week either. So here
it
is.
They've been hard lately.
All right. The song Jenny Kissed Me was going to be Jenny Kissed Me was going to be the original name for which Broadway musical? Camelot, Plain and Fancy, or Candide? Oh, you know, Matthew, what?
I'm going to say Camelot.
You're going to say Camelot. Does everybody agree
I'm
with
going
him?
With Camelot.
You go with Camelot.
You really
Camelot
want
to? All right,
you're right.
Was it Camelot?
It was Camelot, but I thought.
He calls her Jenny the whole show. Never going to be.
Yeah,
her.
I know, but I didn't.
If it wasn't
that,
it
would
have been a
Kurt Beale
show, because Jenny's in all of those.
That's true.
And this one I should have known because I saw it right when it opened. What year did The Lion King open? 96, 7, or 8?
6?
8.
8?
I'm going with 7.
6. 6 or 7? Yeah, it's 6.
I will tell you that I said 1998.
It's not 8. It was 6 or 7.
It was 7.
Yeah.
Eugene O'Neill's. You know who Eugene O'Neill is, Diego?
I do not.
Google him. Read him.
He writes for the New York Times, right?
Yes. Playwright Eugene O'Neill's middle name was Gabriel, Benjamin, or Gladstone?
I'm with Gladstone just because it's fancy and I like it.
I like Gladstone.
Okay,
I
so we like Gladstone.
Yeah, but I like Gabriel too.
I'm going to go with Benjamin.
I went with, because great minds, Craig, yeah, but we would
right,
both
Lisa.
Be wrong. It was Gladstone. So I'm not going to give you choices on this one. You're just going to come up with it. The story of Mamma Mia is set on which islands?
Crete? It's Grecian island.
There you go, Greek.
No,
the Greek islands.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And I'm going to try not to give you answers for this one because I think you should know it because I got this one right because it seemed easy. Who did Neil Simon marry in 1973?
Oh, Diane.
Was it Diana Lander, Maggie Smith, or Marcia Mason?
Marcia Mason.
Yeah.
Once you had the list, it was easy.
Yeah, it's true.
Okay, so now we're going to go to the... to the trivia question. We are not going to give the answers to this, so don't shout it out. We will get the answer at Backstage at Offstage. For those of you that are getting the podcast via iTunes or Stitcher or anywhere else that you get your podcasts, can hear it, the answer there. You should be listening to us on the podcast. Okay. Go.
You could find all of the following at Babes in Arms except A, someone with an extremely limited vocal range. B, slightly smelling performing seals. C, a character name for a holiday. D, a banquet of sandwiches and beans. Or E, a gal who prefers the bleacher seats at ball range.
All right, games. So you can find all that stuff at the show Babes in Toyland, right?
Babes in Arms.
Babes in Arms. Sorry, I was close. So the last little thing I was going to say... We're not going to talk about this because we don't have time, but there's going to be a concert version of The Last 5 Years, directed and conducted by Jason Robert Brown, starring...
I was like, starring is even better.
Joshua Henry, whom people might know him from playing with Sutton Foster in that show I can never remember the name
Violet.
Of.
Violet.
The Bus, yes. Violet. And...
Bus.
One Cynthia Erivo.
Yes!
Yeah. So,
I love her.
Not the first time an African-American has played that role. But
probably didn't have pipes like hers.
And they are not doing anything to change it. He will still be Jewish. She will still be a Shiksa goddess.
Yeah.
So let's listen to Cynthia Erivo as we take a little break.
Oh, yay.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro. We've been talking to the casts of the City Theater's, don't tell me, Little Shop of Horrors, and Zach Theater's, don't tell me, Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins.
And right now we're just going to talk to the City Theater and talk about this show that I have never heard of, even though I saw the original.
I like that
show is A Little Shop of Horrors. And let me just reintroduce everybody. And if you wouldn't mind telling everybody what role or what you're doing in the show. So we're going to start with Craig McCurley. Hi, Craig.
Hi, Lisa. I'm
Craig, by the way, we worked together in Parade. He was wonderful. Go on.
And Lisa was wonderful.
Go on.
She always is. I am playing Seymour Krelborn.
Oh, you're doing Seymour?
Yeah.
Rock. See, I don't know the cast. So I'm
yeah.
Like, And do we have Audrey here?
I'm Audrey.
That's
I'm Lauren Beach. Hi. Yep, I'm
okay.
Audrey.
I play Audrey too. Or does somebody here play Audrey too? No, okay. And we have Leroy Ninau.
It's actually Nino, but that's
you. I asked you and you said yes before.
It sounded right.
Okay, Nino. There's a W on the end, so Nino. Good, thank you for the
correction. It's like bow tie or tow truck.
Okay.
And who anyway, I play Mushnik.
Mushnik.
My life is a living hell.
Heath Allen.
I am Orange Scrivello DDS, the dentist.
That's the best role. No.
Yes, it is.
Actually, you know what? Audrey's the best role. No, you know, Seymour's the best role. I think Mushnik is the best role. And our director, Mr. Matthew Burnett.
Hello, hello.
Okay. Matthew, tell us about the show. Pretend we don't know what it is.
It's a deliciously dark comedy that takes place inside Mushnik's florist shop. It kind of follows Seymour, who's a floral assistant, along with his love interest, Audrey, who has a creepy, sadistic boyfriend who's a dentist named Oren. And everything's going horribly wrong for them in their lives. And one day, Seymour finds this mysterious plant, and everything changes for the better. All good things start happening. There's glimmers of hope, but sometimes those things come at a price.
They do come at a price. Little Shop of Horrors is such a fun show. So tell folks that I like the way it transpired, how it came into being, the show itself. Anybody?
I remember seeing, staying late. I was up, I'm a late nighter, so, as most theater people are. But I remember seeing this movie. It was just a straight movie about this man-eating plant. And I thought, how weird is this? And I watched it. It was like a B-movie when I grew up.
And who played the masochistic?
I cannot remember, but...
Somebody named Jack Nicholson.
Oh, my God!
Jack Nicholson played this. Jack, yeah,
that's what in the movie.
That's fantastic.
In the Roger Corman flick, I heard he literally shot over a weekend because a friend of his was like, hey, we got some sets we can use. And he like had somebody just like write something real quick that they could go shoot that weekend on these free sets they could use.
It was so bad.
It's
no,
really
it's so
was.
Great. I mean, it's so no, bad it's good. I couldn't finish it.
I have the video.
I love it.
Yeah. So they made a musical of it, and we thought who would do that? It's sort of the
Alan Menken.
It's sort of the opposite of Rocky Horror Show. It started as a musical, then a movie, then a musical again, and now a movie again. Well, zing.
Zing. And then the book of the movie, is that next?
The book of the movie, and then.
But isn't it kind of funny that it was the musical, the movie, the musical? And then another movie,
then
all before
game.
It even made it to Broadway for the first time, because it only made it to Broadway for its first time like 10 years
ago.
Yeah,
that's true. Wow. Yeah.
Isn't
that's
that crazy? When you think about it, you're like, whoa. Yeah.
So the thing I love about the show, and I think this is why it's really great for City Theater, it's a really an intimate show.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Right? And I was worried when I saw the Broadway touring production, it came here. They did it because I saw it when it first opened off Broadway at the... Got the West Gate, the Village Gate, one of those theaters, and it's this tiny little theater, and you're like right there with the action. I said, how are they going to do that? And they did a good job. The scenic designer did a really good job of pulling it all in for these big halls.
And it's really an ensemble show. I mean,
it is.
Nobody is extra. They're all needed for everything that goes on. It's fantastic.
Right. Especially, and so it's all sort of narrated by, I keep wanting to call them the Ronettes, but what who are they?
I believe that may technically be the Ronettes.
I thought they had a name.
The Doo-Wop.
There's one named Ronette.
So who are your Doo-Wop girls?
Matt.
Emily Prezan, Mallory
Hornig.
Hornig.
And Annie Violet.
No. So this is,
We also have doo-wop boys in this. Yeah. In this program.
You do? Oh, good. Good. Gender parity. I loved it.
Three doo-wop boys.
Who are the doo-wop boys?
I just said
what
that
about
so that Matt would have to say who they are.
Doo-wop dudes.
Doo-wop dudes.
Let's see, who are the DWDs?
We got Mark.
Jesperson.
Creighton.
Mensch.
Thank you.
You know, I find Creighton to be a real mensch.
I love that he's like first names, and on the other side, they're last names. It's
Mike. Deanda.
Yeah, right.
Excellent.
It's like Electric Company. When Morgan Freeman would do the word and the
put
other
the word,
word
together.
And it's great. We have basically the stars, in many ways, the stars of the show here. But the one of the real stars is Audrey too.
Oh, yeah. Right. Voiced by Alex Cox, who is just remarkable.
Phenomenal. Enormous. He's done it before. So
Audrey too. Really so somebody tell the audience what Audrey, who Audrey too is.
So the plant that comes into Seymour's life, as he begins to feed the plant, it begins to grow. And there's a series of four puppets that we rented from Houston Repertory Theater out in Houston, Texas. And
which would be a good place for Houston Repertory Theater to be. I'm just saying, I thought of opening Houston Repertory Theater here and just decided to change
it. Didn't catch on, huh?
It didn't.
Yeah, so we have four puppets, and we have puppeteer Sebastian Garcia, who operates most of those. And the last puppet is huge. It basically takes up the whole shop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it eats me, and I am humongous.
You are not. You are a man of a certain stature. at one point, we asked Diego to choose a number between 1 and 47. Diego, what was that number?
39.
What was that number? In the microphone.
39?
39. Let's see what you chose. You ready to see? Here we go.
Hello, I'm Leroy Reams, and you are listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby Austin, 91.7 FM.
I'll tell you what.
Oops. 3 o'clock.
Oops, that was my mistake.
That's
my
another
mistake.
One you'll have to look up, Diego. 42nd Street.
Thank you for choosing Leroy, Diego.
So we've been hearing a lot of Leroy and Lillian
Montevecchi
and Kay Ballard.
Those crazy
the three
kids.
Of them came in here together. They were crazy.
They were a little crazy that day.
So I'm trying to think, is there a song from Little Shop of Horrors, because of course it's a musical if we didn't mention that, that is widely known in popular circles outside of the theater?
There might be one.
Suddenly Seymour, I would say.
A little bit, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
And Somewhere That's Green.
Sing it.
And then there was that pop cover of Downtown, wasn't there?
Was it?
Really?
Oh,
yeah,
maybe.
There was.
Yeah,
there's
in,
been
in
a...
the 80s.
This is news to me.
But not, yeah. The last actual Broadway song that was a pop top 40 hit was One Night in Bangkok from Chess.
Yeah.
But other songs from Broadway have been covers that have been hit, but I don't know all the stats on those like I do the other.
Yep.
Sorry, I failed there.
But back in the day, the pop stuff was the Broadway stuff. Mm-hmm. Talk about Ira
it
Gershwin.
Was, because
yes, it
they
was.
Got Aquarius. Yeah. Like,
but the music
Godspell,
is what drew me to the show. Because
it's a great.
The
music is
unlike
great.
The kids I'm working with here, I grew up in the 60s. So doo-wop music is it for me.
I find like every song that comes, I'm like, oh, I love this song. And the next song, I'm like, oh, man, I love this song.
And the music is beautiful. Song. Who wrote
it's
the music?
It's the life track.
Alan Menken.
Alan Menken.
Of Little Mermaid fame.
Of the Little Mermaid. So y'all are... Not quite open yet. Are you open yet? You're not open yet.
No, we opened this Friday.
This Friday. You ready?
Yeah, I think so.
Absolutely.
Lauren, let me ask you something.
Absolutely.
Good acting. Great.
How's the director to work with? I've heard bad
amazing.
Things.
Amazing. We love him. He's amazing.
Seriously.
He makes sure that we're all comfortable the entire time and that everything feels natural and authentic, which is wonderful.
Well, because you don't want a show like this to be non-authentic.
Right. Yeah,
I mentioned it's,
this is real
him.
Life here.
Well, you've got the director is really sweet, sweet, and so is the musical director, and they're working
who's
on
the
this.
Director?
They're working. Oh,
Thomas Azar.
Thomas Azar, yeah. Okay. And they're working on this already dark piece and making it even darker. So next time you see a nice person, know what's going on underneath that.
We have some twists.
Oh, cool. Well, I would look forward to seeing it.
And they say, you know, a lot of people say that if a director casts right, he's done 90% of his job. And I think Matt casts his show. I mean, not talking about myself, but everybody else, I think, is amazing and perfectly cast. Like Seymour and Audrey in particular. Like every time Seymour and Audrey are on stage, like earlier today we had to do a little thing, and I was like getting teary-eyed watching them sing their songs. They're so good.
After the read-through, we all looked at each other and said, this is a cast.
And every bit of direction Matt has given, I really feel, has always improved performances 100%.
Okay. Matt, can I ask you to leave the room so they can tell the truth?
Matt, if you could go away, we have some things to say. And then you throw into that mix Danielle Ruth's choreography, which is so original and just screams the period, and it's absolutely wonderful. The production team on this show is just...
The costumes. Awesome. I'm so pleased with the costumes.
All right, so where are the weaknesses of this show?
There are none.
There are none.
My back.
Touché. Nice. So y'all are at the City Theater. You open on the 19th. Where can folks go to get more information about the show?
You can email us at info@citytheateraustin.org. You can go to our website, that's www.citytheateraustin.org. or you can call us at 512-524-2870.
Well, congratulations, Matthew. I must say that, you know, when people come here, we sometimes get the website and it's usually wrong and I have to correct them. And you came in with the whole thing, and I won't tell anybody that you were reading off a piece of paper. Well, thank you guys for coming on. I hope all or some of you can stick around and join us backstage in the puddles of water.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the puddles of water.
Well, it is. It's raining now. It's raining now.
Got to fix the roof.
Get
that pledge drive going.
Excellent. Well, that was Matthew Burnett, Heath Allen, Lauren Beach, Craig McCurley, and Leroy Nino. All of City Theater's Little Shop of Horror. It opens on the 19th of August and plays through September 11th at the City Theater. For more information, citytheateraustin.org.
I think it's upper
time.
I love that music.
Show. I love and the sultry tones of whoever plays Audrey too is just so wonderful.
I agree.
So let's talk a little local. First of all, I want to just reiterate that Silence is opening this weekend.
Yes.
Michael McKelvey is resurrecting Silence.
Oh, we have some clapping.
We had offered some tickets to give away. We'll do it again. This time we'll do it by email. Email me, Lisa@offstageonair.com. I'll give you two tickets to opening weekend. Lisa@offstageonair.com.
And you get the tickets.
So did you see this Biden Payne committee sent out a notice that to be eligible for a show to be a Biden Payne, not only do you have to go through the hoops that you already have to go through, but you all have to agree to a minimum standard of care and an actor's bill of rights.
I knew there was something. I didn't look at everything. So let's discuss this. Please tell me some more about it.
I'm of mixed emotions about it. I think it's great, obviously, because when you read through it, there are some easy, common sense practicalities about doing this, and I was hoping one of their requirements were that the actors are paid, but that's not in here.
Really?
No, but they basically talk about venue safety, stage and lighting safety, and it's all the stuff you'd ever know. I find it's the whole section on stage combat safety, which is an interesting thing. I mean, it's important.
It makes sense. I feel like there's been
but not all shows have stage combat.
We've had a lot more in Austin, and we have a lot of certified folks here. So I get that. I think that's a great addition.
Yeah, I think it's great. And so my question is.
Do the actors have to sign this, or venues?
Nobody
have to
signs
sign it.
It's as if they observe a violation, and the Actors' Bill of Rights is more. It's if an actor says something, then that's when something happens, and they make they decide whether or not that show will then be eligible for Biden Payne. So I don't know. What do y'all think?
I think I have to, full disclosure. Mm-hmm. My girlfriend is on the Biden Payne committee. Just so I said, obviously it's a first draft. I think it's a great step, but I think, like a lot of things you said, if you have those kind of suggestions, I'd talk to them, and I'm sure they wouldn't listen to anything.
Yeah, I like that they're doing it. I am one of the people that find the Biden Payne's a little fraught to begin with, and this adds another layer of fraughtness.
No, I feel that way about kind of awards in general. Mm-hmm. Just sort of like, I have a mixed feeling about awards in general.
I think there could be vendettas put out based on this to try to. So I don't know. So that's a good point. I love the effort. I love that they're doing that. Biden Payne Committee is stepping up.
I was about to say it's something to step up. I get it.
And we need that here in Austin. So mm-hmm. I'm not poo-pooing it at all. I think it's great. I think it's wonderful. I do wish actor payment was part of it. Because we as theater producers, we have to pay the lighting designer, we have to pay the costume designer, have to pay all that. The only people we don't have to pay are actors, and shame on us if that's the way we do it. We may not pay a lot, but you should be paid.
But it's something. I know. It's the principle.
What do you think, Diego?
Just say yes.
Yes. Yes.
We have been joined by Blakeney Malstadt. Did I pronounce that right?
Yes.
Okay, you're going to get right up on that. And veteran of the show and a relative of Blakeney, Jennifer Young-Malstadt.
Hi.
And we're going to get to know them a little bit better when we talk about Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins.
We're not there yet. So that was my local thing I wanted to talk about.
Well, I'm glad you did.
Did you want to? Did you have anything?
I picked a show this week.
Well, bring it on, sister.
It is closing this week. It's the last weekend for Robin Hood and Maids Marian's Wedding over at the Scottish Rite Children's Theatre.
The Scottish Rite Theatre, sorry.
I have that in my head from working there those years. It runs through the 21st, and I had the website up a second ago because they changed that darn link. Well,
so in my dialogue class, I remember the little thing we learned to learn Scottish. Would you like to hear it?
I would like to.
Okay, here we go. Ready?
Yep.
Nah, Susan, nah. I did love him all those years, though I never spoke of it to ya. I folded it up and put it away like a pretty garment I could never wear again.
Nice. Look at those rolled R's, Lisa.
Yes. Like, and
Alan Cumming would be proud.
I was just about to say, if you don't know that, just listen to Alan Cumming.
There you go.
That'll solve your Scottish
issues. I took it to a different
right
level
there.
Than really that they wanted
no,
it to
I
go.
No, I loved it.
But that was my thing. And the other thing I want to talk about.
Passionately, Lisa. Very quickly. I found the intent behind everything
it's
you
right
said.
There.
That was great.
I folded it up and put it away.
So easy to be passionate in Scottish. Like, I want a sandwich. And everything sounds so powerful.
That's true. It would be hard to not.
In English, everything sounds so proper. You can say some awful, awful things, and it sounds so lovely. And you're
and
like,
"Oh, I do."
Oh, okay.
Okay, I meant to say this at the opening part. I got to talk about this now. Fun Home is, as we know, it's closing in September.
Boo.
And they have announced the dates for their the dates and places for their tour. Which I, for some reason, forgot that they had a tour because Ground Floor Theater has applied for the rights to Fun Home for our December musical. And now I'm worried that it may be because it is coming. The closest to us is Houston in May.
Houston is the closest
at Tuts. They're interesting venues that they're choosing because again, like Little Shop, it's an intimate show. Mm-hmm. All right, y'all ready for today in theater history?
Dun dun dun.
Okay, back in 1871.
I bet you Diego remembers that year.
Diego, well, no, he doesn't remember 1871.
That was when June O'Neill first started writing for the New York Times.
But Leroy would remember. He's scottered off though. So playwright Jesse Lynch Williams is born on that day.
Bon anniversaire.
And you might remember the 1917-1918 theater season where his play...
Like it was yesterday.
His play Why Mary won the very first ever Pulitzer Prize for drama.
Oh,
zingity
really?
Ding.
It was only... I felt like they were longer first
also,
Pulitzer
me too.
Prize.
Also the birthday of somebody named Mae West. Anybody want to take a guess at the date of her birth? It's earlier than I thought.
Well, I'm going to guess it's August 17th.
Whoa. You were right.
Very good.
I'm so smart.
Of the year of our Lord, 1893.
1893,
wow.
Really?
Yep. Wow. In 1955, Diego will remember this, Broadway revival of Thornton Wilder's Skin of Our Teeth. Listen to this cast. George Abbott and Helen Hayes played Mr. and Mrs. Antrobus. And somebody named Mary Martin played Sabina. There's a Peter Pan musical concert version that just took place not too long ago. So I meant to talk about that, but I didn't. Okay. In 1983, we took a big jump here. It is the anniversary of the death of Ira Gershwin.
Was it 83? Wow.
And his brother, George Gershwin, died several years before him, like 8 or 9 years before him.
Wow.
No, sorry. George died in 1937.
Oh, well.
I did not realize that. How did I not know
that?
They finished
a lot of his works without him.
Yes, I know. Wow. Okay. So, birthdays. Sidney Michaels.
Hello.
1927. And Sean Penn in 1960. And then I have to, I have...
your local birthdays?
No, I have... We're going to get to that.
Okay.
But I have Alexa.
Oh, yes.
So, I asked her, I told her good morning today, and this is what she said to me.
Good morning. Today is Robert De Niro's birthday. You talking to me? You talking to me? Oh, right. You are. Hello.
There you go.
You talking to me? You talking to me?
So,
all right. You are.
Who that can tell me? So we know Robert De Niro is a film actor. Who knows what shows? He did one show on Broadway.
Long time ago.
He's only done one on Broadway. He directed or
Pacino's
co-directed.
Pacino's been in a billion on Broadway.
Yeah, he co-directed. Well, Pacino came from Broadway.
Yeah, he's got another one coming to Broadway, too.
Just because I want to see that.
I don't know this show. It's Cuba and His Teddy Bear.
Huh.
And his co-star was Ralph Macchio.
What?
Oh, okay. I'm so sorry.
And De Niro
sorry,
plays the
that.
Teddy Bear, right?
So also our local birthday is Daniel Brock.
Hello.
Just happy to Daniel. I haven't spoken to him in a while. Bethany Harbaugh.
Oh.
John Bollinger, who I don't believe I know.
You don't know John? I feel like
Am I pronouncing his last name right?
Yeah. Yes, okay. You are. Bonav- I feel like you know.
You need to be right at the microphone.
He's Bollinger. He went to Texas.
Hi, John.
Yeah. Hi, John.
I know. With me.
Shout out. Jamie. I know him from Jamie.
And tomorrow
He's
it's
in
Jason.
New York now.
It's Jason Phelps' birthday.
Oh,
tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
Zing, zing, zing a ding. Okay, so let's listen to a little song written by one Ira Gershwin.
Sounds good.
You say either, and I say
we are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shearer. What a lovely, fun interview that was with the Little Shop of Horrors folks.
Absolutely.
It was
fun day today.
Horrible.
The horror.
It was a horror show. It is all. Okay. So we are...
We just abuse ourselves, don't we?
We don't
need
guests. Time. So let's talk to the lovely cast from that little show called Mary Poppins over at Zach Theater. And we've been talking a lot to Diego Rodriguez.
Hi.
Hey, we've been sort of picking on you today, right?
Yes.
Yeah, picking on you with love, Diego.
With a lot of love. Yes. It's been kind of fun. And Blakeney Malstedt.
Hi.
Now, you guys are the understudies for Jane and Michael Banks.
Yes.
Okay. And we have here with us Jennifer Young Malstedt, who plays Mrs. Banks.
Hello.
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 What a lovely British accent you have.
Thank
for two,
you for having
two and
us
hours.
Today.
Oh, I love it.
Lovely.
Sometimes Lisa and I haven't done this in a while, but sometimes we like to sit around and do Step in Time and do the show like this. Yeah, see, we're the only ones that find it amusing.
It's true.
Diego.
It's true.
Diego
and
finds
it
funny.
And our accents are as bad as
they're
good.
Really bad.
We
they're
aim,
just so bad.
We aim to be like Dick Van Dyke in Mary Poppins. So, Blakeney, tell me what this show is about.
It's about these two kids and their parents. And, in the beginning of the show, basically Michael has an umbrella in his hand. And our director has a story of like when he was a little boy, and so it was.
And your
about
director is who?
Dave Stakely.
Of course, Dave.
So he's flying an umbrella, trying to like catch wind to fly. And at the end of the show, he's by himself. And at the end of the show, his father and the whole family comes together and he goes and he's with his family.
Yeah. So this is really a story about connection.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
So had you guys seen the movie prior to doing the show?
I have seen a little bit of it, but I didn't have enough time to watch the end, so.
All right. You know, you are so disappointing.
Watched it a couple times.
Yeah. No, I've always said it's one of the ones that I have physically in my collection. I've always said that Mary Poppins should be required viewing for anybody that wants to be a parent. Lauren Lovell, have you seen Mary Poppins, the movie?
She's shaking her head.
And of course you have. Of course you have. So you guys are the understudies, and we're thrilled to have you guys on because
Thank you.
Talk about how important understudies are, and you guys have got the privilege to go on quite a bit, haven't you?
Yes, we have.
You do two shows a week, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So we do. We say it's the hardest because we say understudies and swings. You're the hardest working ones in the showbiz. And y'all are on stage almost as much as Mary Poppins, if not more. Am I correct?
Yes. That we're about the same as Mary, I think.
Yeah, we're on like the whole time.
So, you know, in reading y'all's resume, you guys are no slackers.
Thank you.
How old are you guys? How old are you, Blakeney? How old are you?
I'm 9.
You're 9? And
11.
Okay, so you're the veteran.
Yes.
Because I'm this many. 9-11, and you guys have got a pretty impressive resume already.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank
Do
you.
We want to? Are y'all going to continue on? And we'll talk about this backstage if you go, but are you going to stay with theater?
I want to, yes.
Excellent. Then I'd say do it.
Yay.
After you do all that homework we gave you earlier.
Yeah.
So you guys are ready to sing, right, for us?
Yes.
So, Diego, tell us what you're going to sing. Set it up for us.
Well, we're going to be singing The Perfect Nanny, which is an advertisement that... Thank you. Which is an advertisement that Jane and Michael create because we need to find a new nanny.
Okay, and remember, because we don't have an engineer, just say everything right out in the open. You control your own headphones. Can y'all hear okay in your headphones? Okay.
Yes, I can.
All right, wonderful. So we are going to be listening to Blakeney Malstedt and Diego Rodriguez singing from Zach Theater's production of Mary Poppins.
If you want
I put in. Play games, all sorts. You must be kind, you must be witty, very sweet and fairly pretty. Take us on now, teens, give us treats. Sing songs, bring sweets. Never be cross or cruel. Never feed us castor oil or gruel. Ugh!
Love us as a son and daughter.
And never smell of barley water. I put that bit in too.
If you won't scold and dominate us, we will never give you cause to hate us. We won't hide your spectacles so you can't see.
Put toads in your bed or pepper in your tea.
Hurry, Nanny. Many thanks.
Sincerely, Jane and Michael Banks.
Wow, great job. Okay, so one thing I can't help but notice, you guys, is that when we're sitting here talking, it doesn't sound like you have a British accent. So do you just put on the American accent for us, for your friends at school?
Yeah.
Good. Well, yeah, you're doing a good job, because I would have said you were. I would have said you were from this country. But I'm proud of you. That was fun. So what have you all found most challenging about this, or challenging and or fun about this show?
I find most of the big dance numbers very fun, just because not only the dancing that you're challenged on, but you can see other people. Like, in the beginning, we do step in time, and that is really hard for me, I think. So just right the second that I actually can do it correctly, I just feel so amazed and happy for myself. That
awesome. What about you, Blakeney?
The same, but also, like, I'm really challenged because, like, I've never really been an understudy or a lead before, so it's a little bit out of my comfort zone, so it's challenging because I've never really done it before.
But that didn't stop you.
Yeah. No.
That's the
cool
doesn't
part. It feel good when you accomplish it afterwards?
Yeah, it feels great.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so that's that is cool, cool, cool. So, Jennifer? You didn't think you were going to get away without saying anything, did you?
Hello.
I warned
you.
Hello.
So
when I went to see the show, which is just lovely and fun, I did see the names were very similar. And so now this confirms that there is indeed a relationship between you two.
Yes. Did you see Blakeney go on?
I don't think so. No,
no, she was there.
No, I was there press night.
Press night.
Oh, okay.
No, so I saw the others. You know, everybody did a great job.
Yeah.
And you had quite a sizable role in this, because Mrs. Banks, rather than the movie, takes a much more present role, I think, in the play than it does in the movie.
And you know, it's as we've kind of settled into the show, you know, I'm having more fun with her. It's really easy, I think, for Winifred to become a victim in this show, or present herself as a victim in this role, and that's the last thing I want. She needs to be really fun and quirky. And Dave, you know, has that extra bit of her, you know, being showing her old vaudeville days, and that gives us a glimpse of how cool she was, you know. So it's been really fun, and you know, I juggle a professional acting career and over, you know, working full time at Zach and children and school, and you know, and other children.
And other children.
So it's close to me.
Well, that's awesome. We're out of time here for this section. Hopefully you guys can join us backstage
thank
and we can talk further.
Us.
I'm so happy to have y'all here. So
thank
y'all are
you.
Playing now. So tell us, when do you close?
September 4th.
September 4th. And where can folks go to get more information about Mary Poppins?
www.zacktheater.org, the best website in town.
And if we wanted to see Blakeney and Diego, when would we want to go?
Tonight. And then...
Saturday matinee.
Uh-huh. And then they're in the following week. Do y'all know? offhand. I think it's both Saturday and Sunday, and then September 1st to Thursday, and their last show is September 3rd. Woo, woo.
Okay, there you go.
I love it. That was. I didn't even ask you for those. Thanks. Things. That was good.
Thanks again for coming on the show.
Thank you.
That was Blakeney Malstedt, Diego Rodriguez, and Jennifer Young Malstedt. Of Zach Theater's production of Mary Poppins, playing now through September 4th on the Top First Stage at Zach Theater. For more information, zachtheater.org. And I had to do this.
Okay.
Stepping time. Come on.
The peanuts are stepping in time in here.
They're stepping in time. Well, we're plumb out of time ourselves, speaking of stepping time.
I know. It's a bummer.
So if you're listening to the podcast, and you should be listening
absolutely
to the podcast, stick around. We'll talk to these folks backstage amongst the puddles. And if you're not listening to the podcast, stand by for Austin Modern News. They are next. How do we get the podcast?
Why, you go to offstageonair.com and enter your little email in that box to the right. And each week, Lisa and I just appear in your mailbox right there.
That's right. We're also on iTunes, Stitcher, and all that other stuff. Please like us on Facebook.
Yeah, give us a rating and say how awesome we are.
We get lonely.
It'd be nice.
So that's our show. Next week, I am going to be your co-host.
Yes, and I'm going to put together the show.
You're going to put together the show.
And it's going to be spectacular.
You're
going to
be in charge, and I'm just going to support you the best I can.
All right. And you know what, Lisa? We'll step in time.
We will. When we look at what's happening off stage and on the air. We'll see you, folks. Well, the curtain has just come down on Kids, the musical. The story of a hapless young couple of children searching for love in the big city of London, only to be trounced by a full-size Labrador retriever wearing Bermuda shorts.
I hope to play that Labrador someday.
That's hilarious.
Here we are backstage, and I thought we were going to have a huge crowd, but so many people got scared by my hard-hitting journalistic prowess.
You know, it's your gotcha question.
It's the gotcha question.
They're afraid you're going to make them cry.
So we are left with Craig McCurley. Hi, Craig.
Hi, Lisa.
Lauren Beach.
Hi.
We had two Laurens on the show today.
We did.
And we had two Malstedts on the show today.
We did. Ba-dum-bum-ch.
Ba-dum-bum.
Ladies and gentlemen, she's here three nights a week.
And Heath Allen.
Yes.
Wow, this isn't... I've got the wrong piece of paper in front of me.
Oh, here's one.
That's the one I wanted.
Do it live. No need.
Okay. So, that was a fun show that we did today, wasn't it?
That was great.
That's your surface tab. We have a lot. You know so what? We both have surface tabs, and now it's all confusing.
So, well, let's start with
the answer
to the trivia question.
That was going with your los that you were talking about Spanish shows earlier. You missed that. Okay.
Los Tibiosos.
So let's refresh the question. You could find all of the following at Babes in Arms, except, and let me just mention Babes in Arms was from 1937. A, someone with extremely limited vocal range. B, slightly smelling performing seals. C, a character named for a holiday. D, a banquet of sandwiches and beans. Or E, a gal who prefers the bleacher seats at ball games.
So what do we think, kids?
E.
I'm going with A.
I'm going with B.
The smelly performance seals, yeah, vocal range, and girl who prefers bleacher seats. Do you have a choice? Did you have one, Lisa?
No, I didn't. So just go on without me. I'm texting.
Okay.
I'm pretending I'm Nicole Shiro.
That is hilarious. So what was the number? Oh, I had a whole this isn't right.
What's it say?
The page that it says the answers are on.
Isn't there. All right. Well, it's
Oh, it starts on
just
there.
Just going to have to say I'm right no matter
what.
Oh,
we had to turn the page.
Yeah.
Okay,
they're
shoot.
All right. D, the banquet of sandwiches and beans is in the mountain greenery, Garrick, which is the Garrick Gaieties of 1926.
Which I have never
the
seen.
The guy with the limited range is, of course, Johnny One Note.
Poor Johnny One Note.
The performing seals are in I Wish I Were in Love Again. There's
I
a character name
in Love Again,
Valentine.
Richard Rodgers.
Mm-hmm. Duh, my ever Valentine. And the lady who is a tramp prefers the bleachers. She doesn't like ermines and pearls.
That's
either.
Why this lady is a tramp.
There you go.
That's
okay.
Why.
So I'm guessing Babes in Arms was written by one Richard Rodgers. Am I correct about that?
It is a
I do not
safe. You know it was a Rodgers and Hart?
It's Rodgers and Hart, right?
I don't know the show. I've never seen it. Know nothing about it.
A lot of the music, didn't they use a lot of the music in, not with George M., there was another one that they used some of the
there's dual songs. These songs were dually used in Babes in Arms and then in something else. And I learned about it when I did the show, but that was 20-something years ago.
Well, the cool thing about the group that we had here today is we're all musical. Well, y'all are all musical performers. Mm-hmm. Are we all triple threats?
How solid does my dancing have to be?
If you're a triple threat, it's got to be solid.
Then no. Oh,
then you are not... Then you are not a triple threat.
2.1, 2.2.
Yeah. I get there with the dancing.
Okay.
I'm not a learn it in 10 minutes kind of audition dancer, but I will get
I can
there.
Do it. Show one? Me steps, I can do it, but I definitely don't say, like, I'm a dancer. Yeah.
Right.
I feel...
A dancer!
Those 10 minutes, I'm going to teach you the trickiest dance ever, and then you have to do it in 10 minutes.
So I suppose it's still the same. There's all this shorthand in New York, and I've talked about it on the show before. So my little shorthand was I was an actor who sings and moves well, which means I'm an actor who can barely hold a note, hold a melody, and can't dance a lick. And there's all these all these things that say, okay, I can act and sing, but I'm not really a good dancer.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I don't know.
Although if you're casting a show, yes, I'm a dancer.
Yeah.
Well, see, but that would be hard because a dancer dances. I know. Because I used to be able to dance rings and do crazy stuff, but I don't think I could get
I can't. I couldn't act anymore. So, I mean, I'm talking about what I was.
Yeah, I was a dancer.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you were an actor who sang well and couldn't dance, you would be an actor-singer who moves well.
That's me.
My resume for a while said singer-actor-mover.
Oh, there you go.
What's a sings well, though? Does that mean you're on key or off?
No, that's not one of them.
I think if you read music, I think that steps you up a little.
Well, I can barely read.
I don't read.
Heath, where are you from?
Initially, Bryan College Station, Texas.
Oh, I've heard of that place.
Yeah.
Did you go to Texas A&M?
I did not.
Okay, but initially, that leads me to believe that you left soon after you entered the world.
No, I was there till 28 or so.
Oh, okay.
Actually.
All right.
And then I got out.
Did you do theater in Bryan?
I did. That's
where
I grew up doing theater there. I had a mom who was in community theater. So as soon as I was born, I was being toted along to rehearsals.
What's her name?
Her name is Kathy Allen.
Yeah, I know her.
Oh, Kathy Allen.
K.A. we used to call her.
Yeah, of course.
Back in the day.
Okay.
Lauren, what about
you? She's not C.A.?
Because I know K.A.
Because she knows K.A.
They go way back.
Why would we call her C.A. if her name was spelled with a K? That doesn't make sense.
C.A. was my father's second wife, who was also a Kathy.
Seriously?
Yeah,
wow. Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah. Dad's got a type, huh?
His type was Kathy.
Kathy here. Hold on, Kathy there.
People were yelling. Nobody could hear you.
Sorry, Lauren.
I'm from Fort Worth originally.
I call it Cowtown.
Cowtown. And then I went to Texas State.
And Craig, where are you from?
Originally from New Hampshire.
New Hampshire. You know, you can't get there from here. It's true.
I know.
You can't. Yes, you can.
Where
you can
in New Hampshire?
Derry would be
Derry, home. Indiana. Derry, yeah. Indiana.
Almost.
Derry, Chester, Hopkinton, Manchester.
What made you, when did you leave?
A little over 2 years ago.
Oh.
Yeah.
You discovered snow was a four-letter
word.
July
2nd would have been my two-year anniversary here in Austin.
Would have been or is?
Is. Was.
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 Excellent. And where did we all start our theatrical journey?
Just community theater in College Station,
yeah,
Texas.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah.
First show. what was your first role in community theater?
I recently asked my mom that because I couldn't remember. It was 1981. We narrowed that down.
Okay.
But she wasn't sure if it was either just as like a kid in Beckett or a gypsy kid in a melodrama.
Oh.
One of those two.
I started at Casa Mañana.
Oh, you did?
A little Casa kid, yeah.
So, wow, well, but okay. Casa Mañana is an equity house, is it not?
Mm-hmm, it is.
Did you get your equity card there?
I didn't. Okay. No, I did. And I don't know why, because I was one of the Casa kids and we did like the touring stuff. So I don't know why I wasn't raking in that stuff or if I just didn't know how to do that.
Maybe they just didn't
want
like you.
To pay you.
Yeah.
Do me a favor, Lona, bring that microphone a little closer to you. You can pull it. You don't have to go to. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
And Craig?
I played Captain Hook in second grade
because
I was tall. And I think I'm still upset that I didn't play Peter Pan, but I'm getting over it day by day.
Was it not a girl?
So
was
this
a
boy.
Was
this the actual musical
awesome
version or some other
version? It was a musical
Pan
version. It was not the musical version.
Well, you know,
fourth grade, second grade.
I did. I grew up doing semi-professional, or I guess it was professional children's theater. And we did Wizard of Oz, Emperor's New Clothes, all these things. Mm-hmm. But it was the Prince Street Players version, which is a national. My roommate got his Equity card there. Mm-hmm. But it was all, it was the story, but all different music.
All different.
Yeah, yeah. I think my music teacher wrote most of these.
Perfect.
I see. So all always do we, I'm assuming we do musicals and we do straight plays.
I mostly just do musicals.
Oh, all right, never mind.
I'm chomping at the bit for a straight play, but I haven't done one in probably 15 years.
I'm surprised. What about you, Heath?
I think I've done mostly straight. My other job, other than acting, is a musician, so it's kind of weird. I don't do more musicals. But
what are you musician as?
I play lead guitar. I have a home studio where I do lots of things, jingles and film scores and stuff, but I play lead guitar in a local cover band called Scottish Thunder.
Scottish Thunder.
Well, he looks real good in his kilt.
I was just about to get there. So is your next project writing a theme song for a radio show about theater?
It could be.
In the style of musical comedy?
I think I'm very adept at such a thing.
I'm just saying.
Shiro and Chaps, they sling their news.
So what do we have any like fun catastrophe stories in theater or any fun theater anecdotes that anybody wants to
I was just recounting a production of 42nd Street I was in where I was playing Bert and we were singing Shuffle Off to Buffalo and we get off stage and our Anytime Annie looks at me and goes, "Where'd you go out there?" I was like, "What are you talking about?" She's like, "You just stopped singing. You just didn't sing the duet section." And I was like, "Yeah, I did." She's like, "No. No, you just weren't even moving your mouth." I was like, "Huh."
So by duet section, there was only supposed to be two of you singing, but there was only one.
It was a solo.
So as she Audrey, got the solo. I'm a little nervous about that.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about that one. That was,
he's got that behind him.
That was probably week eight of summer stock, so not much sleep had been had.
Right. So, okay, well, then was it rotating stock?
It was not. I've never done...
Was it 1 week stock?
It was 2 week stock.
That 2 week stock. Fun. Okay. Yeah.
So I've never done rep stock.
You closed on a Sunday and opened on a Tuesday?
On Tuesday.
Yeah. That's just as hard, really.
Yeah, I love it.
Because did they have what's the word? What is it? What's when you do this over somebody?
Leapfrog.
Did they have leapfrogging casts or were the casts the same for all?
We were pretty consistent. All 4 years I did stock in three different companies. It was pretty consistently the same cast throughout the entire summer.
So mostly you were
an Equity guest artist here and there for various shows.
Shows at night, rehearsals during the day.
Yep.
Wow. Where did you do that?
I did a year at Hackmatack Playhouse in Maine.
Hackmatack.
I did 2 years at Lakes Region Summer Theater in Meredith, New Hampshire. And a year at Mount Washington Valley Summer Theater in Conway, New Hampshire.
So, that's again all Northeast. I don't think you hear of these kinds of programs outside the Northeast, really, unless you're talking.
It's too bad because
they're really
wonderful.
Good programs.
I mean, and you get five or six shows on your resume
like
as
you
a college
hear about
kid.
Them in the Midwest, I feel like Illinois and those kind
of
places.
That's what we did in the summer.
But
I mean, there was,
exactly.
No, you don't learn about them here, about those programs up there that you really have to be. I mean, you knew about them living in the city or Syracuse or in
backstage,
all the places.
Right, where you're
line.
Auditioning for those,
right,
too. You're heading into the city and you're auditioning at the
Unifieds.
And
I think as far west, probably out to like Ohio, Illinois, but yeah, it
a
doesn't
couple
really
pop
go,
up in like Iowa, Oklahoma, but
below Virginia, really. Anyone mm-hmm. really? No.
And you know what else they don't have a lot of anymore is outdoor dramas.
Yeah.
Tecumseh and all those other. Has anybody done an outdoor drama?
Mm-mm. No.
Not a drama.
No,
just done outdoor musicals.
Yeah. Outdoor drama is a specific thing.
I know.
Yeah, that is kind of.
Oh, they're interesting.
Besides Shakespeare, I guess there's those.
Shakespeare, I've heard
drama.
Of him.
That Willie.
Good old Willie Shakes.
Yeah. So that was a great story about the duets.
Yeah, so it happens.
And I can see how Lauren
yeah,
feels.
Yeah, so it happens.
It happens.
No, we're pretty solid.
Guys, I was like 20 years old.
We both
old
have
and
duets with him in this show.
Oh, yeah.
He was in Maine, and anything can happen in the woods. So.
Yeah.
No. Got to keep our eye on you.
And so what's next on the horizon for you guys? Anything? Anybody got something lined up?
No.
I'm heading out on tour with a production of A Christmas Carol.
Which is awesome.
We open in Florida and close in Colorado and zigzag for
musical
3 weeks.
Straight
musical Christmas
Which
Carol?
Version is it?
It's a a newer script that's been put together. I believe there's two big musical numbers, but most of the music in it is sort of Christmas carols and
who are you playing, Marley?
Public domain action. I am playing Fezziwig.
Fezziwig.
Yeah.
And where can, if folks wanted to find information about that to see where you're going to be, what do they do?
PerseveranceProductions.com.
Perseverance Productions.
Perseverance.
Where the heck and decky is that?
Based out of New Hampshire.
New Hampshire.
Touring with a company out of.
They're eating lobster rolls and fucking shows.
Out of Florida as well.
How are y'all transporting? How are you? Do you are
good
you
old
flying?
Bus and truck.
Bus and nice. Truck.
Living so old school. You're going old school.
Kicking it old school. Well, that's awesome. That's awesome. And y'all, so maybe you can get Lauren and Heath a job.
Yeah, I'm a mom, cool. So I usually do one musical a year. That's mine because they're little still. So.
How little are they? What are their names?
One and Let's four. Check. Ruby one. And Ramona.
Oh, Ruby and Ramona.
Two adorable.
Alliterative.
Yeah.
That's great.
They're pretty great kids.
So I do one big show. Oh, I should have brought them.
And this was it.
Yeah, usually a year.
Except it's a
little
show.
Until they get a little older and they can do stuff with me.
And we are very, very happy she chose this one.
Yeah.
Lovely. And you get to... what are you going to do next year?
I don't know.
What do you want to do?
They're doing Chicago here, and Roxy would be a great one. Mm-hmm. Andy.
I'll put in a good word for you. Will Andy be directing it?
I'm not sure. I don't know who's directing.
I don't think he plans usually, that far in advance.
No, he doesn't usually direct them. But I do a program with the Paramount. I do a program for, it's called Literacy to Life. And we do, so these kids write stories and then we write musicals or do plays based on the stories that the kids write. So it's kind of, we go into the public schools, the low-income public schools, and we get them to write stories, and then we perform it.
Oh, that's
them.
Great.
That is so cool.
It's really fun. And the
where
kids
can
get
folks
really
get information about
it.
That?
Do you the know Paramount Theater for the Arts. I don't have the actual
Our Paramount Theater here?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. That's Texas AustinTheater.org.
There you go.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, it's a great program.
Yeah.
There's tabs at the top for the different educations and programs.
Yeah.
And
stuff
okay, Heath, it's your turn. You're going to be the final word backstage.
Oh, ooh. Man. You know, these days, sadly, I've mostly transitioned into television and film type stuff, okay. So I don't get a lot of chance to do a lot of theater. I still try to get back to my theater roots, but like I don't have another show lined up after this one. I was going to audition for Glengarry Glen Ross, but out of the 4 weekends they're running, I already had 6 conflicts.
ABC.
So kind of ruled me out.
Always be closing.
Yeah.
So, all right. So as the one that doesn't, that you've got, you do a lot of straight plays, but if you had the chance to do one musical or one musical number from any song, from any show, what would it be?
You know what? Now that I've done The Dentist in this show, which is a dream role, like I kind of want to find another production and see if I can get a Seymour under my belt.
Suddenly Seymour.
Okay.
Flip flop it.
But you're just the perfect dentist. You're just
the perfect dentist.
Yeah.
Because you're sadist.
Apparently I play one very well.
He frightens us.
Well, I can be funny sometimes. Well, great. Well, thank you guys for coming backstage.
Thanks
we had
for
a blast.
Us.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank
okay,
you.
We'll see ya. Say goodnight.
Bye.
Goodnight.
Bye.
Sweet understanding. Seymour's your
nobody